to some extent. A lot of the people who watch this program, they are also in high school, and they want to vote for people who they can relate to. Other times when we get to see a lot of like their storyline, I guess you can definitely tell that the producers are trying to push this contestant into getting more screen time and attention, because quite frankly, like an idol group that doesn't have in its early days, if it doesn't have like at least one or two high school students, it's not going to resonate with their main audience, which is like high school students. There aren't a lot of young people who want to follow a group of performers who are all 19 years old or older. That's just frankly what it is. And I think that's fine. I don't think that that is necessarily a bad thing. I am, you know, in my late 20s, like I would like to see an idol group of women in their late 20s. I would think that would be incredible, other than SNH48, which no longer exists, and various K-pop groups that have aged while I have aged. But, you know, the type of contestant that I don't, that really just don't appeal to me, are those who are young and pretty, and those are their main talents, and who really do not, in my opinion, exude a lot of charisma nor stage presence. They also don't really seem to exude any ability to connect with the audience in like an emotional and sentimental manner. And I think with enough training and experience, they may be able to harness the skill, because it is a practiced skill. But so many of these people can hold a note during karaoke, and maybe was in their middle school dance club and performed okay, and so that now they're on this program. And they really should not be competing against high school students such as Hata Mena and Yamamoto Suzu, who are so incredibly charismatic on stage. You cannot look away from them. Some of these contestants who make it into the top 11 and who fit the description of the type of contestant that I do not necessarily vibe with do not have that ability and are, for me, quite forgettable. So I mean, that's one of the main reasons why I dislike watching these evaluation episodes. I just end up finding out that my expectations for this group are very, very like incongruent with those of many other people. The other thing noteworthy of this episode is that it seems as these contestants, 90 plus of them, more than 90 contestants, just had a weekend where they could get their hair done. You notice that? There were so many hair changes this episode. It was very interesting because, you know, one could assume that perhaps there were hairstyle changes in preparation for the coming episodes and the performances. But some of these hairstyles, wow, hair really changes a person. Some of these people looked like they aged backwards. Some of these folks like look like completely different people. And then you also learned that some people, should not be making certain choices for their hair. I have a lot of things to say about this one style change, but I'm afraid that if I open my mouth about it, people would lose their respect for me because I would become so mean. So I'm just going to say, some people, they get bad haircuts, and thank God, hair grows out. Some of the hairstyle changes that I did enjoy, however, are those people who just got, like, a trim, like, a bang trim. That was great. And also, shout out to Kasahara Momona, who looks great with short hair. I think she was my favorite change of all the contestants. She had, like, the super long black hair before, and then she got it, like, all pretty much chopped off. Now she has this, like, slight, I guess, like, slight mixy haircut with curtain bangs, and she looks incredible. Speaking of Kasahara Momona, she is the center currently of this episode. She got the very top vote this week, which is very exciting for her and for the people who enjoy her. I also quite like her. I think she's great. I haven't had the chance to feel that spark of connection quite yet, so I'm looking forward to more, because I think she will debut. I think most definitely she will debut. I mean, she used to be a Hello Project idol, come on. So yeah, that is those are most of my thoughts of this episode. I'm looking forward to next week, where I will watch the position battles, the position performance battles. That's the other thing, I forgot that I'm watching the episodes a week later than most people who have access to the app that narrowcasts the show. So there's that. I'm a week behind. I also, yeah, wanted to give a shout to a YouTube creator named Sushi Taro. She would not be able to hear this, I think, unless she listens to Canadian community radio. But she is also a huge idol nerd like I am, and she has an incredible sense of humor. I thought that she was very funny, and if given the chance, I would definitely watch this show with her. I think we'd be able to vibe well off of each other, even though I am the total opposite from her in terms of her attitude towards these contestants. I, quite frankly, don't care for a lot of them, and she loves everyone. Now, here's my top 11 of the week since episode 5. Not really anything has changed since my last top 11, my last fantasy top 11, mostly because only one person got kicked out of the show, Kamada Moe. Everybody else remains, so I have to just pick one person who will remain, or who will be added into my little fantasy top 11. So, the person who will be indicted into my fantasy top 11, I think, is going to be Yamamoto Suzu. Yeah, she's a very good performer. That's really it. And I also liked, I had also found her 1 minute PR video where she shows us that she has had 10 plus years of karate training, and she attacks a helium balloon, and then she proceeds to punch the camera. Yeah, that was fun. And it stood out. That's what you need on the show. Anyways, so in that case, my top 11, Yamamoto Suzu, Takahashi Hina, Sudo Sakura, Uchiyama Rin, Kitazato Ryo, whose name I pronounced incorrectly last week, Ando Yui, Sasaki Tsukushi, Hata Mena, Takami Ayane, Ishiran, and of course, the one person who shall not be moved in the top spot is Kato Kokoro. That concludes this week's episode of Welcome to Idol Hell. Here's more music. This is newest from Aimyon, Not Okay. Get into it. do typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Come On Debo with Blood Parallel. Okay, listen. Before getting into the next part of the show, I do have to also mention Ran, Ishiran, who is one of my favorite contestants of this Produce 101 Japan The Girl Season program. She has finally hit her goal. She has finally beat Sakurai Miyu. Sakurai Miyu is one of the contestants of the show. Lots of thoughts about her. Not sharing them today. That would also be very mean. Not horrifying, but just like, you know, just a lot of questions about her, I guess. But anyways, Dan previously had like 20 minutes dedicated to an entire episode about her forming a one-sided rivalry with Miyu. And she's finally beat Miyu. Ran scored, I think she was like ranked like number 3 on the eliminations episode that I watched this week. And Miyu was number 4. Gasp. And now Ran, perhaps she can rest easy knowing that she is better than Sakurai Miyu. Congratulations to her. And Miyu, again, totally seems unbothered and didn't even think a single thing about Ran or anything like that. She was just happy to be there. She was super happy to be there. We're gonna do a big hard pivot now because we are about to hit the top of the hour. Just want to remind you to please continue to put pressure on the local officials of Canada, the local elected officials of Canada, to press for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Of course, Gazans want a lot of other things as well, of course, and the big long-term goal is the end of the occupation of Palestine, which we will see in our lifetime. However, an immediate ceasefire is one of the most basic things that they are asking non-Palestinians to advocate for right now. So please call, email your MP, the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, actually try to email her instead, the Minister of International Development, of National Defense. Tell them that an immediate ceasefire is the most humane thing to do. It is not a so-called humanitarian pause. There's nothing humanitarian about a pause in bombings just so that people can get filled up with food and get their throats quenched and to charge their phones, only to 4 hours later have to run away from more bombings. That is not humanitarian at all. Cite to them as well that Burnaby is the first Canadian municipality that called for an immediate ceasefire. Canada should follow in the footsteps of Burnaby, which is not, you know, not exactly the federal government. You know what I mean? And don't lose hope when calling for these things. We have seen the mayor of Toronto call for an immediate ceasefire, and she just weeks ago was condemning a gathering of pro-Palestinian advocates in Toronto. Now she's backpedaling. Beyond just calling and emailing, of course, and also signing petitions with the House of Commons, attending gatherings and vigils, you can, of course, get into boycott, divestment, and sanctions. What is that? You'll find out more on the BDS Movement webpage. But essentially, you know, it's telling people to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Boycott the companies and products that support the occupation of Israel and the apartheid. Here's what you can read on their page of the BDS movement. That's BDS movement. Here's the webpage of called Get Involved. Know what to boycott. Targeted consumer boycotts are convincing retailers across the world to stop selling products from companies profiting from Israel's crimes. Many Israeli exports complain that it is getting harder for them to export their products. The Palestinian BDS National Committee calls for a boycott of Israeli and international companies that are complicit in violations of Palestinian rights. Virtually all Israeli companies are complicit to some degree in Israel's system of occupation and apartheid. We must focus our boycotts on a small number of companies and products for maximum impact. We focus on companies that play a clear and direct role in Israel's crimes and where we think we have an impact. And they list a number of companies on that webpage for you to boycott. I have to say, today I watched a video by somebody named Amira Zaki who talked about how boycotting is a long-term skill that you have to practice all the time. And I couldn't agree more. I'll use myself as an example in hopes that it will encourage you to also take part in boycotting Israel. Sabra, which is the company that makes hummus, is a joint venture between Pepsi Company and the Strauss Group, an Israeli food company that provides financial support to the Israeli army. I have not eaten Sabra in years. When I found out that they were funding the Israeli army, one, I was kind of disappointed because I liked their hummus, admittedly. But two, I was like, I'll make my own freaking hummus then. I am not going to be buying products from a place I'm not going to be buying products from a company that willingly helps commit genocide. I'm not going to do that. And it's been years since I've had Sabra, and you can do that too. Boycott, divest, and sanction. Check out their website at bdsmovement.net. And please continue to put pressure on your public officials to demand for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. We have hit the top of the hour on typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Check out Democracy Now! Every Monday to Friday from 11 to 12 with your host Amy Goodman. It's some of the best news that you can get right now. Get into it. I've been Leslie. And I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I'll see you next week. And before that, I'll see you next week. And before I let you go, here is one last song, new release from Tima Likes Music and Cass. I don't even know.
Inside four walls, I'm calling you, holding something of wish and need, searching corners. Thank you.
Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
We appreciate your generosity. Each year for a week, we host FunDrive, our annual fundraising campaign that boosts our budget and supports our operations. Thank you for your support.